Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastor Terry said you had to sign up by 7. That was a subtle hint that I need to be done by then. And so I think I can do that. You don't think I can, but I think I can. The Lord has really burdened me recently about our care one for another. And through several means, He has brought me to that concern and burden. And I challenged our Wednesday night people that were there on a Wednesday night. I shouldn't say it the way I did. People that were there on Wednesday night several weeks ago regarding our care one for another, just encouraged our people, and I want to just kind of forward that and take it a little bit of a step further. We make up a body, a functioning body as born-again Christians. The Lord has placed us within the body, according to verse 24 of this passage. He has tempered the body together. He has put it together that there be no schism, and then given us a responsibility. In fact, not only here, but Ephesians chapter 4, He's given us a responsibility to the body of Christ. The beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, we are to maintain the unity that has been brought about by the Spirit of God. And by verse number 16, we are then every joint is supposed to be supplying that which is needed in the body of Christ. We live in a generation that wants to be served, don't we? People sometimes have a welfare mentality. What is mine? What is rightfully mine? What can I get without doing anything? And if we're not careful, we can do that within the body of Christ. We can do that within church. We can come expecting to be ministered to without the idea that we are also responsible to minister. In fact, what would happen if we showed up and large number, filling the place as we did this morning, all wanting something. We would be in trouble without somebody ministering. But on the other hand, the other side of the coin, so to speak, what if we all came to minister? What if we all came looking for an opportunity to minister? What a privilege that would be, and what an opportunity that would be. And so we want to look at this tonight. I've entitled the message, The Same Care for Each Other. And I want to show you why I termed it that way from 1 Corinthians 12, and then actually take us to the text. 1 Corinthians 12 I'm going to use as an introduction. Philippians chapter 2 I'm going to use then as for the passage in which I'll preach. Let's go to the Father in a word of prayer. Your Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and thank you for the privilege it is to be together. And we just sang a number of verses. When we all get to heaven and verses like that, Beulah Land, all and looking forward to and anticipating that heavenly Jerusalem. Father, until then, we have a responsibility here on earth. Your Son is the rightful head of this church, working perfectly. And actually, your Son and your Spirit are moving us to minister to each other. So if we're not, we're not obeying your Spirit, and we're not obeying your Son, who is the rightful head. And so I pray that you would just help me to be able to transfer a burden of mine to others, catch on to the ready, and bring them to another. We pray. Verse 1, there should be them for one for another. So He is saying here, while God and Christ have placed the body of Christ together, He is giving a responsibility to us that we should have the same care one for another. The question is, what does the same care refer to? What does He mean, the same care? The same as what? What should be the same as? And so, to really figure that out, we need to start in verse 21. So let's back up a second and look at the context. He's illustrating the church as a body. And he's likening the various members of the church to various members of the body. Look what he says in verse number 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. He says, it is not proper for one part of the body to say to another part of the body, we don't need you. While the feelings may course through our veins, the reaction in the body, not up to who's not got responsibility. Boy, we said that. What two words? Which seem, so it's not true, it's not a clear vision, they seem to be more feeble. I mean, that is anything to the body. They don't see any summer years. My toes, he's not new. During life, he walked with a limp. He had tricks. But now, that's something on your body. Yeah. It seems to be not. Look, those members of the body which, what's the next two words? We think to be less honorable upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts more abundant comeliness. So he's bringing out a lot of terms here, and he's saying, you know, you could actually kind of divide the body into that which it doesn't seem to be needed. It seems to be weaker or more feeble. It doesn't seem to be as honorable. It seems to be uncomely or even unattractive. He says, so that it seems that way, and that's the way we think, but in reality, he's trying to drive to the point that's not at all true. For our comely parts, verse number 24, have no need, but God, look at this, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked. So he gave more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And so he's saying there were parts that God thought we could look at and say we really don't need. And so he gave it really a purpose. So God has placed the body together, and then he goes on to verse number 25, that we should give the same care one for another. And I believe what he's referring to there is each of us ought to be providing the same care for the parts that seem or we think to be honorable, and the same care for the ones we think or that seem to be more comely, more feeble, less honorable. We ought to be providing the same care for everyone. It shouldn't be that we just minister to the elite, or just minister to the faithful, or just minister to the ones that provide music, or minister to the ones who preach, or minister to the ones who do special things. Yet we aren't to minister to those who minister. We need to minister to all. And so really setting the tone here that as a body, he is calling us to give the same care, the same as we want, the same care to every part of the body that is needed. So with that in mind, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. So I want to talk about that, giving the same care one to another. And I want us to see, first of all, that your care is a matter of choice. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, there are three people very evidently caring about the church of Philippi. If you start in verse number 21 and go start in verse number 19 and go down through verse number 25, try to give me one of the three people. Now raise your hand for this, and if you're in the afternoon service, you're not allowed to answer, okay? Because some of you are back. So who is someone who cares for the church of Philippi? Miss Lois. Timotheus, or we might call him Timothy. Timothy there in verse number 19 is one of the ones that he is going to provide to that church to give them care. What's the second one that really cares about the church and is going to minister to them? Becky. Apostle Paul. Now, that's good, Becky. You're insightful there. Apostle Paul isn't mentioned, but he is the one sending men to help care for this church. So no doubt Paul cares for this church. So while he's not mentioned by name, Timothy is, another one is, but Paul cares for this church. And what's the third one? Everybody's skipping around that because there's a lot of letters. There's a whole alphabet's in that name. Can you say it? Anybody? Yeah. That's not bad. How about Epaphras? And he is the third one that is giving care, Epaphroditus. Epaphras is another, actually, individual, but in a different book. Epaphroditus is the third one. So we've got some people giving care. When we look at Timothy, we find that care is, your care is a matter of choice. Let's start with verse number 19. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So no doubt Paul cares for them. And Paul says, you know what, it'd be comforting to send someone that I know will take care of you, and then he'll report back to me how you're doing. That would comfort me. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And when he says that, he says, there's nobody that thinks like I do, that has the mindset that I do, that will naturally care. And the phrase naturally care is from one Greek word. It means to be genuine. It means to be sincere. It means to be faithful. And so he says, there's one man that comes to mind who will be really genuine. Isn't that the kind of person you want ministering to you? Somebody that's genuine. You'd like someone, if they're going to minister you, to be sincere, and you'd like them to be faithful. And so here was Timotheus, and he was somebody that Paul thought would be genuine, he'd be sincere, he'd be faithful. He would naturally care for your state. But look at verse 21, because that's where I got this point. Your care is a matter of choice. For all men seek their own. It doesn't say it there, but let me put it this way. All men seek their own, period. Every one of us, at heart, are selfish. Everyone at heart wants people to minister to us. Wants people to notice when we're not doing well. Wants people to notice when we need help. Wants people to maybe dote upon us somewhat. Want people to remember our special days. Want people to maybe think outside the box a little bit and reach out to us. One thing that I find interesting is from time to time people say, yeah, I missed a couple weeks and no, you're the first one to contact me. You know, it's something about you want to be missed. You want to be recognized that you're not there and have someone reaching out. For all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So he says we can get in this mode where we come to be served, or we can get in this mode where we come to serve. And you notice here what he says, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about the body, and we all make up the body of Christ here, so Christ is the head. So if Christ is the head, and Nathan's part of the body, all of a sudden his eyes get big. He's always fearful when I bring all the attention upon him. It shows what goes on in the home. But anyway, no, just kidding. I'm not in trouble again. Is Nathan then Christ? Part of the body. He'd be Christ, isn't he? Okay? It's okay to say yeah. It's going to be no trouble here, okay? Okay? What about these two other fellows back here, Aaron and Eric? If they are part of the body, are they Christ? There's children, part of the body. What about Brother Joe? Is he Christ? What about Lindsay? Yeah, a little bit more question there, but I think she is. No, just kidding, Lindsay. Just kidding. So, when we come, it's kind of natural to want people to serve us, but we've got to make a choice. And the choice is, no matter how we feel, no matter how we feel our week is gone, no matter what we feel we're up to, we make a choice when we come to church, and the choice even throughout the week, but let me focus first of all at church, and we've got to make a choice and say, you know what, these are Christ's. These are God's children. So I ought to want to minister to other parts of the body. Keep your hand here, but let's turn for just a moment to Romans, the book of Romans, and to the 15th chapter. Romans chapter 15. Let every one of us, verse 2, please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So he says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification, for even Christ pleased not. So Christ made a choice. He didn't come to be ministered unto, the Scripture tells us, but to. He came to minister. Did you come to minister today? We're pretty far through the day. We've had two services already. Maybe you've been to all of them. In what way? Think back to the morning if you were here. Who did you minister to? You had the opportunity. We came in and we were joined together for 2 hours. Maybe you were here for an hour. Maybe you're even here at the afternoon service, so you really have a responsibility to much is given, much is required. You've had three opportunities. Again, we make choices. We can kind of just sit back and expect people to minister to us, or we can reach out and minister. And he goes on. Look what he goes on to say in verse number 15. I've already moved away from that passage. So he says, I'm convinced that ye able are also to admonish one another. You're full of good works, able also to admonish. So he says that the capability is there. So dear friend, it's not can I care for others, it's will I care for others. Again, if the congregation was made up of all of people like you, what would the congregation look like? Would things be accomplished? Would people be ministered to? Folks, we have got to learn. It's part of being a body. And Paul is saying, you know what? I've got Timotheus and I've got Epaphroditus, and they both are ministers and will be a great benefit to you. So I want you to see, first of all, it's a matter of choice. What choices are you making? Secondly, I want you to see, though, it's also a matter of heart. Verse number 25. Yet, the word yet there has this idea, and, or, moreover, and also, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. He says, I think you need more. Now, understand, let me back up a second. The church of Philippi was known for going through a lot of trials. And so Paul thought, you know, they need more than just each other. They really could use some encouragement from the outside. And so I'm going to bring in some others. One of the reasons we brought the Martins in again this year after having them last year is honestly I saw how well they ministered to us. And I saw how well you all responded to that. And I thought, you know what, we need that again. And then when I heard what he was, one of the topics he'd like to preach on, I thought, wow, we really do need that. And so I'm looking forward to that. And so Paul was sending these people because they were going through a lot of trials at the time. So he says, not only do I want to send Timotheus, but I also want to send Epaphroditus. Now look at this. He says, he's my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So here is somebody who's already been a minister for the Lord. But look what he says in verse number 26, and this is where I got point two of the message. For he longed after you all. The word longed has this idea, earnestly desired. It's the idea of love. And he just loved those people, and he earnestly desired to be with them. But he was full of heaviness, and it says in verse number 26, and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he, excuse me, but that ye had heard that he had been sick. So here's a guy who really wanted to be there, but he had been sick, and if you'd read on, he was about to die. Now I found this really interesting. Paul is going to send Timothy and Epaphroditus to minister to these church. Timothy was constantly ill. According to various portions of the scripture, he was weak in the flesh. He seemed to have a constant physical weakness. And Epaphroditus, who just about died from being sick. You know, sometimes we use our health to give us an excuse why we can't minister. Paul is using two people who are fairly weak physically. So I think that removes our excuse. Well, I don't feel well, so I can't. Folks, that's not an excuse. We can still minister to one another. And so it's really a matter of heart. For he longed, and this is what I said in the afternoon. We will care for those we care for. Let me say it a different way. Those we care for, we will care for. You say, what's he saying? Are you getting it? Does it make sense? The ones we care about, we'll minister to. What Paul's concern was to the church of Corinth is that we'd minister to all. We'd have the same care one for another. And so at times you might say, you know, Father, I've been doing well at serving so-and-so and ministering to so-and-so. I haven't been doing much to care for so-and-so. Would you help me? Would you give me a love for them that I'd want to care for them? Maybe it's been years since you've reached out and ministered to somebody. And you've got to, wait a second, these are Christ. And he's put them here, and there isn't to be any division. I'm not to serve just part of what is Christ. I'm to serve all of what is Christ. And so, Father, give me a heart for them. So that I care for those I care for. And I'll care for them so that I'll care for them. And again, he's got a heart for it. Now, where does that come from? Listen to these two verses. You might want to jot down a reference. 2 Corinthians 7:12 says this, that our care for you in the Spirit might appear unto you. Do you hear what Paul is saying here? He wanted our care for you that is in the sight of God. I think I read that wrong. That's in the sight of God. Might appear unto. He wanted them to notice that he's caring. He said, we want to care for you, and we want you to notice that we're caring for you. He goes on later in 2 Corinthians 8:16 to say this, and it's regarding Titus. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So who gave Titus the heart to want to give them earnest care? God did. So if there's someone you're not caring for, God can give it to you too. He can put it in your heart too. And so we have to see then, it's not only a matter of choice, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ. Naturally, we seek our own, and we don't seek to serve others. And then it's a matter of heart that he hath put it in, and he hath longed after you all. And how did he get that? Because God put it in his heart. Now, what does this look like? Let's take just a few minutes. You can actually shut your Bibles if you want. You can feel like, and you ladies can get in the ready position to run out and sign up with that sheet by 7 o'clock, okay? You want to be at that progressive dinner, so you want to be ready for that. But how can we do this? Remember, Paul says that we are to have the same earnest care one for another. Now listen to what he goes on to say in the next verse in 1 Corinthians. He goes, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So he's talking about being in unity, being joined together. There's a couple things we can do. Number one is consider each other. If we're to have the same care one for another, whenever we come together as a body of Christ, I think we ought to be looking to each other, seeing what needs might be there, what needs might be presenting themselves. You might see somebody sitting alone. And I think as a body of Christ, we ought to reach out, break out of our shell, and go over and introduce ourselves and talk to them, especially if somebody's new, to welcome them. Think about what it feels like to go into a place where everybody else knows each other, or at least feels that way, and you don't know any of them. And you kind of just go and sit alone. That's how they feel. When a visitor comes to this church, they feel like everybody knows each other and I don't know any of them. And so they just sit down by themselves. If you're a visitor first time at the church, you're not running around from one pew to the other. Introduce you. Hey, I'm here for the first time. My name is so-and-so. What's your name? Have you ever met anybody doing that? I don't think I've met some peculiar people along the way, but I don't think I've met anybody that peculiar. Usually they come and sit by themselves. So wouldn't it be good if we cared for them? They might be a brother and sister in Christ. Or they might be somebody we need to introduce Christ to. So we ought to open our eyes and look about us. Who can we minister to? We ought to be praying for one another. Doesn't the scripture say, bear you one another's burdens? Wouldn't it be great at the end of the service, say, hey, you know what? Hey, Becky, hey, we were praying for your trip. How did it go? Would that be encouraging for you, Becky, if somebody individually came out, hey, we were praying for you. How did the trip go? It certainly would be. Again, that thing of just recognize, hey, we've been praying for you. How you doing? Or Pastor mentioned this. We've been praying for that. How's that situation going? And again, just letting somebody know you're praying for them. What an encouragement that would be. What about if we would hear of somebody in need? And say, you know what, I could help. Maybe I can't make a whole meal, but maybe we can make a dessert. Maybe I can put a salad together. Or maybe I can at least acknowledge and ask if there's anything I could do or provide a gift card or something. Again, just trying to give the same kind of care that we would appreciate in going through. And by the way, when somebody ministers to you in your time of need, when you hear somebody else is in need, you ought to stop and think, you know what, people ministered to me. I ought to minister too. And reciprocate. You don't do it for that reason, but it ought to be part of it. Scripture says we ought to be exhorting one another. We ought to be comforting one another. And so sometimes just coming alongside of somebody, sometimes just encouraging somebody. I have down here to call, to visit, just to connect, to fellowship. You know, who hasn't been here for a while? Do you care? And what does that look like? I think as a body, it ought to bother us if a member, if one of your members decided not to get out of bed in the morning, that'd bother you. If your one foot said, you know what, I'm staying in bed. You go on without me today. That would bother you. You'd say, hey, I want to get a hold of that foot and get it back here. Being a little facetious there, but again, we ought to be caring. And so there may be need some calls. There may need some fellowship. May need to connect. And so let us really work at it. We are to be providing the same care one for another. It's a matter of choice. We shouldn't all come wanting to be served, but looking to serve. It's a matter of heart. We'll care for those we care for. It says of Titus, God put that in his heart. Ask God to put it in your heart, and may we earnestly care one for another. Let's pray. Tonight, as heads bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play a song of invitation. We're not going to sing this evening. And what I'd like us to do is make this a matter of prayer. Father, you said that we are to, and I'm talking, not praying at this point, with your heads bowed, you'd say, in your mind, you'd say, Father, you said that we ought to all be having the same care one for another. Father, you said we all seek our own. And boy, I've been evidently seeking my own. And when I'm seeking my own, I'm not seeking the things which be of Christ. And so I'm failing. And so, Father, would you put it into my heart to minister to others? To try to connect, to try to just fellowship a little bit, to try to show concern. Again, if we come with a welfare mentality, we're going to struggle. And we're going to have people that just are seeking their own and not really helping one another. So won't you just, as he plays through this song, just pray, Father, would you give me the heart to want to care? You've told us that we are to have the same care one for another. Help me. Lay somebody on my heart. Burden me for somebody. So that I might, in this coming week, maybe even this evening, strive to reach out and minister. Davis, when do you all head out? I know you're going a little early. The 9th? Okay, the 9th of... Okay, they're going to be leaving a few days early, going down to New Mexico for him to just kind of organize things and get in his mind where and what should be done. So we will have them leaving a little bit early ahead of that. And let's enjoy some fellowship tonight. God bless you as you head out. Drive safely, and we look forward to seeing you back soon.